This is Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy, brought to you by the Ford Ranger, Australia's number one selling vehicle in 2023. JB and Billy have had a relaxing start to the day.
I like a sleep-in Sunday morning.
A lie-in Sunday, Jim.
Now it's time for reflection.
How do you self-assess? How do you reckon that went?
We can work on it.
Oh.
This is the best stuff from Triple M's Rush Hour this week.
It doesn't get any better.
No, Jim.
It's the Rush Hour Sunday session.
I feel good.
On Triple M.
Fat, I have pole vaulted into the studio this morning. I could not be more excited to speak to someone from one of my all-time favourite shows.
Jeez, Jim, I had no idea you liked Antiques Roadshow so much.
Oh! Bang! The only antique around here is you, Fat. I'm talking about Jeremy Piven, a.k.a. Ari Gold from Entourage.
Oh, you love him. So does Rabsy. So does everyone in the studio,
Star.
I reckon. Plus, Jimmy boy, we chat to the great Andy Lee.
He does
everything so well. TV, radio, podcast. But we might have found something he doesn't do that well at.
Ooh. And next, another legend, Formula One legend, former Haas team principal Gunter Steiner joins us right after this.
He got the arse from Haas.
Triple M's Rush Hour Sunday session will be back soon. And to get JB and Billy whenever you want, download the Listener app and add the show to your favourites.
I feel good.
What a thrill this is. We are joined by Formula One legend Gunter Steiner.
Our next guest is one of the most popular people in Formula One because he always says it like it is.
You finish fourth and fifth here. You look like rock stars, huh? And now we're a bunch of wankers.
And has a beautiful way with words.
Hello, fish. Can you bite, please?
This should be relaxing. It's boring.
Please welcome former Haas team principal Gunter Steiner.
Gunter, welcome to you. We are not worthy. The Drive to Survive series, you were so brilliant in that. It's made you a global superstar if you weren't already.
I don't know about that one, but thanks for having me.
You're in Melbourne now. Do people recognise you? Do they come up and go, hey, Gunter, how are you?
Yeah, a lot of people come in the airport. You know, when the F1 races around, I've been recognised pretty well, but you know, you get used to it.
Did you ever think when you were running Haas and doing that job that this documentary series would turn you into what you are now? Did you ever see that happening?
No. That's a short answer. No, I didn't see that one coming.
But you were so honest. What we loved about it, I mean, the series was brilliant. But every time you were on it, you could tell that it was the authentic person. You didn't give a stuff that there were cameras there. You were just yourself. And that's what I think everyone loved.
Yeah, I think, but as I always say, it's easy for me because I'm just myself. I don't have to think what I'm doing. I'm just doing my job, and there's good people around filming it, taking the audio, and doing the job. So, as you say, I'm just myself.
What was the job like? You must have loved it, but did you get stressed? How did you go with it all?
I mean, obviously in Formula One, I think everybody gets stressed out. It's quite intense. It's not an easy job. And it's, you know, with more than 20 races a year, it's hard work as well.
Mm. Hey, Gunter, as we move on to the current Formula One series, and of course, we're only in the early stages, but it gives us the shits that Max Verstappen just wins every race. Is there anyone else who's going to beat him at any stage?
Anyone.
Hopefully, yes. I don't know who it will be because I'm with you guys in the moment. I cannot see anyone coming in to do it. But like all these things, I think you have to see the glass half full here. And at some stage, somebody will come and take away from him. Domination always ended somewhere and somehow. I mean, how long it will take, I don't know. But the first two races, he was quite dominant. Without the quiet, he was dominant.
He was, yes. Seems too good. What about Oscar Piastri? Someone like that, a young kid coming through. And how good is he, the Aussie boy?
I think we start with your second question. How good he is. I think he's pretty good because coming into McLaren with having Lando Norris there, which is one of the future champions or can be one of the future champions, and he can stand up to him. He beat him a few times last year in his rookie year, which says a lot, you know. Again, becoming a champion, you need to be at the right place at the right time. And sometimes that's out of your hands. But in the moment, I think he's in a very good team for his first years in Formula One. And then if he does well there, for sure one of the potential world champions picks him up, and maybe he can even stay where he is with McLaren, because McLaren is a strong team.
Well, we didn't know that much about you until you made a legend of yourself in the Drive to Survive series. But we did know Daniel Ricciardo was a properly funny bastard. And when he was on that show, the world suddenly wrapped their arms around this young man. He's a character. That's what we love about him.
Absolutely, you know, and he has a good smile, you know. Yes. He sees things pretty lighthearted most of the times, you know. Obviously, when he's racing, I think he gets stressed out as well as we all do in Formula One. It's not this easy that you can always just smile and laugh.
Now, Gunther Steiner, we're speaking to the legend who's about to, of course, be a part of Channel 10's coverage of the Aussie Formula One and will be brilliant. Now, from the outside looking in, Gunther, it looks like the F1 drivers don't like each other at all. Is that the case?
I wouldn't say at all. Out on the track, they don't like each other at all, because everybody's out there for himself, you know. So it should be as well, you know. But outside of the car, I think some get on better than some of the other ones. But no, I think in general, they don't hate each other. I mean, for sure, there are a few hates in there.
By the way, tell us who they are, Gunther.
Come on, Gunther.
I don't really know who that is. We need to ask the drivers. We can ask them on Network 10 in Melbourne. Who do you hate?
Yeah, it's good. What do you love about Australia, Gunther? Or what are you looking forward to? The kangaroo or the Vegemite or all that crap?
No, the Vegemite not. We start with that one. No, the kangaroos, I hope I don't run into any. I've seen them, you know. It's in general, it's always a cool place to come to. I think that people are passionate. You go out there, it's near the city, it's in the city, but not a city circuit, you know. It's just a good place. The weather normally is good. I saw it will be a little bit colder this weekend, but not really cold, so it will be fine. But no, it's just a good vibe always in Australia, and the fans, they are second to none.
Mm. Well, and you're from the north of Italy, so you'll be an enjoyer of fine wine. Ooh. There's beautiful wine in Australia, Gunther.
I know it all, you know. So I keep on trying.
Keep on trying.
Hey, great chatting to you. Yes. Can't wait to see you part of the F1 coverage. Enjoy the Aussie F1.
Thank you, guys.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
What do you collect unusual? Right. Salt and pepper.
Time to get the family involved in this magnificent radio show. When have you seen a half-wit at work? So I'll tell you what I was doing, Fat. In the off-season,
yes,
I went to Southland. I went to JB Hi-Fi down the bottom.
JB went to JB Hi-Fi.
I had to buy one of those Chromecast things that you can cast
Did
up on.
Did you say my name's JB?
So I'm standing there. No, I got right. It's a very easy thing. It's, you know, a packet just hanging off, so I just grabbed it.
Yep. Yes.
And I'm standing in the line.
In
and
your
there
own
was about
store.
Seven people in the line. And there's this bloke in front of me. And I looked at him and I thought, he's not right. There's something not right with this bloke. He's got a dingbat look about him. And then he had the iPods in.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, the AirPods.
AirPods. He's got AirPods in. So I'm thinking, this is going to go well.
Yeah.
He gets to the front of the line.
Oh, no.
And he has to hand something back and get a refund and then change something over. So it was already going to be a complicated setup.
And?
Didn't take the AirPods out.
Oh, no. So he's
15 minutes later, he's still trying to work it out with the poor girl behind the jump with stupid headphones on.
Do you say move on, mate?
I felt like saying to him, mate, take the half-wit things out of your ears so you can hear what this poor girl's trying to say.
That's rude.
So she can do the job she's there to do, which is sort your bloody purchase out.
Bloody rude, that, Jim.
Idiot.
It happens.
Well, of course it happens.
It's like the blokes, and girls, on speaker, on phone.
Yep.
When you're sitting there and we're here, you can hear your whole conversation. Oh, mate, and they're on
Why
speaker.
Why do they do that? Oh. And they hold the phone out to the side.
Oh, yeah.
What's that about?
Oh, they're dicks.
Well, this is what we're saying. So 133353, when have you seen a dick?
No.
1, 2, 3, 4, 3.
No.
When have you seen a dingbat at work? That's the question we're asking.
Yes.
Now, Stevie's in Berwick. Hello, Stevie.
G'day, Jim. Fat, how are we?
Yeah, good, Stevie. When have you seen a dingbat, Stevie? What happened?
Jim, I know exactly how you feel. I work with a dingbat every day.
Mm-hmm. What's his name?
Is that Brendo?
Well, yeah, what's he doing, Brendo?
He worked the whole day the other day with his shorts on inside out.
His shorts on inside out.
That's fine.
Come on, Brendo.
Like stay there, Stevie. I like that. Dave's in Bendigo, Bill.
He is. Hello, Dave.
How are you, gentlemen?
How's Dad?
Oh, yeah, living the dream.
Right. What? Dad and Dave.
Dad and Dave.
Oh. When have you seen a dingbat?
Oh, we were doing a final clean on a job site. We had a young fella, the labourer. Me and the boss were bringing in some, you know, final fixings for door hinges and that.
Oh, yeah?
He's got the shop vac screaming away and he's got his Apple EarPods in. We watched him for about probably 3 or 4 minutes and then videoed him for two. The actual hose wasn't connected to the vacuum.
Come on. What's his first name?
His first name, I probably won't put it on air, but we nicknamed him Dyson after that.
Dyson.
Yeah, good work.
Yeah, and people drive with him in too, Bill.
I know.
And when you see poor driving, you get up next to them. And nine times out of ten, they've got those EarPods in there. Stay there, Dave.
It's dangerous.
Andy and Nary Warren. Hello, Andrew.
JB and Fat, how are you?
Good, Andy.
When have you seen a dingbat, Andy?
Every time I go to pay for fuel and the one behind the jump, he's on the phone.
Which he shouldn't be ever. That does drive you mad, that.
It's rude and frustrating.
It is.
Good. Yes.
Stay there, Andrew.
In that order.
No, that's fair enough. That order. Rude and frustrating. Stefan in Parkdale.
Stefan.
Hello, Stefan.
Hey, boys. How's it going?
Stefan or Stefan?
Nah, Stefan. Yeah, cheers for the confirmation. I get Stefan all the time, which
I hate. When have you seen a dingbat?
So I am the dingbat. I was struggling to get tickets from Ticketmaster, I think it was, and I was on the phone to him, customer support.
Yep.
Wasn't getting the confirmation emails, and so I rang him up and I was giving him a serve. I'm like, now what's the go here? And we ended up working out that I didn't put in at hotmail.com. I put in at hotmail.cock.
C-O-K
instead of C-O-M. So when he read it back to me, I had nothing. I said, yeah, mate.
That's cock to me.
And it was to Stefan.
Stefan.
Righto, mate, stay there. Daryl's in Sydney. Hello, hello, Daryl.
Daryl.
G'day, Bill and JB.
How are you, Daryl?
Yeah, not too bad, not too bad.
When have you seen a dingbat, Dazzler?
Yeah, at work. truckies. We had a truckie come in and didn't know how to actually open his curtains on his truck, didn't know how to close them up. We were actually wondering whether he knew how to get it into reverse and get the truck out of the place.
Wouldn't be hard to open or close the curtains.
Tesla's getting a giggle.
I was out the back. Our Forky was out there and scratching his head. Another truckie who was already parked in front of him had to actually come over and help him. It was crazy.
How do you open the
dingbat?
How would you open it? Just
They got straps and clips on the bottom of the straps on the curtains. Top. Yeah, exactly.
When I was driving the double bubble.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
Plus he went down to Antarctic.
Yes.
He's
the Antarctic or Antarctica, Bill.
Oh, he went down to the Antarctica.
Right.
Our next guest is a radio and television superstar who's basically mastered both formats. So every now and again, he likes to check in here to see how the other half lives.
Hello, Andy. How are you?
Yeah, good, Will. How are you feeling?
Oh, I'm nervous. Nervous as a cat on a hot tin roof.
Why is a cat on a hot tin roof nervous?
Well, their little paws get burnt. I don't know. Anyway,
things haven't improved, Andy.
Please welcome Andy Lee.
Yeah. I think it's good for you and Haim to visit this studio every now and then.
It does. It gives us a lot of confidence. It shows that how low the bar can drop and you can still have a job. It feels great.
You've been in New Zealand. I saw playing in the Open. How did that go?
Played in the New Zealand Open. It's, you know, it can be a bit daunting when the cameras come around and follow you in a professional golfing situation. Camera just perched right behind me. I hosled one.
Yeah, I saw that.
Oh, my God. Hosled. It was on for golf. In golfing, for those around in golf, it is when you hit it sideways at pace.
Yep.
And it went straight into a house on the other side. Mate. The clang was huge. And the commentator went, "There's the old hosel rocket for Andy Lee. Great to have him here."
It's basically hitting it straight over extra cover.
Yeah,
extra
cover. It is awful shot.
Terrible.
And so the pressure did get to me. Apparently it was the spa retreat, so there would have been people in there that were having their hot stone massage, whatever, that would have asked their money back after the gong went off.
Who was your pro? Who'd you play with?
Jack Monroe. Brisbane fell in. Played appallingly. I dragged him down.
You brought him down.
I would have absolutely brought him down. But a great event.
Yeah, cool.
I mean, it's pretty amazing over
Queenstown.
There.
A lot of people go there. Is that Punter playing
yeah,
that one?
Yeah, Punter. Yeah. Punter Ash Barty. In fact, we had before the day before the tournament, they had all the players there and a big crowd and VIPs. And because the New Zealand were getting thrashed by Aussies in the cricket.
Oh, yes.
Which was just tremendous.
Awesome. Great.
They said, we want to do a chip and a putt off in teams of two, but we want to stack the New Zealands. It's two New Zealand teams against one Aussie.
Right. Yes.
Ricky was meant to be, Ash and Ricky.
Mm-hmm.
Ricky was off caught up in a meeting about his IPL team, yeah, apparently, because someone's got an injury or whatever. Anyway, so I get called up instead of Rick, which should have been the right instinct to begin with.
Andy and Ash.
And Ash turns to me and says, do you want a chip or do you the putt? Because they were chipping. It was a 35-metre chip over a creek.
Oh, no.
Soft landing.
I'm not doing that.
And I said, look, I'll do the putt, Ash. Ash puts it to 3 foot.
Oh,
wow.
And
the two New Zealand teams don't put it in, don't even get it on the green.
Wow.
I miraculously get the one putt and the Aussies get another win. So, yes, Ash and I undefeated.
So she can play, Ash Barty?
She can play.
Yeah.
She can really play. I had a practice round with her and with Rick. The day before as well, just amazing focus. Boring to watch though. Nothing goes sideways. Just straight up and down.
They're also immune. I find tennis players when they play golf immune to any form of pressure. Like Todd Woodbridge, Paddy Rafter,
Leighton Hewitt.
They all play brilliant golf, and when it comes to shots that I would crap myself trying to do, they just shut their eyes and do it. It's like ridiculous.
I was playing the Australian Open back in the day with Jason Day. Our four was Jason Day, Leighton Hewitt, and Ed Jenkins, who was the captain of the Australian Rugby Sevens team.
Jenko.
Yeah, they could probably call him Jenko, yeah.
And Hewitt, back to the wall, whenever we needed him, it was a team's event, he would roll up and put
it in.
And so he rolls in this 12-foot putt, and I turn to him and go, and the crowd cheers, and he just walks and picks up the ball like he does all the time. He's not that good at golf. So I turned to him and said, no, that's when you should have gone, come on.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, with his hand to his face.
Yep.
And he said, no, I know when to come on. And I said, no, you do for tennis, but you don't for golf. I don't think you'll ever do that again this round. We're going down the last. I put my one in close for the first time I contributed to the team. Well, and he's put into the bunker on the right.
Right.
And I said, see, told you, you had no idea. There's about 300 people watching out of the bunker. Oh, clips lands, rolls in.
No.
And? Crowd goes wild. He turns to me and goes, come on!
Hey, we can't let you go without talking about the Blues. 2-0, Airborne.
Airborne. It was, look, obviously everything I talked to Harry about over the break is coming off, which is nice. To be honest, I don't think we're playing our best footy, but we're kind of getting the job done, which is what Collingwood did last 2 years. So it's nice that we're winning the close ones. And, feel for Doc though.
Yeah,
of course. It's that's
he does not deserve that.
Doesn't deserve it. But if anyone can come back, that he'll be able to do it. But it's pretty exciting. Unfortunately, we've got a week off the early bye.
Oh no, you'll be right though. Well, I think after that you've got the very very tough
Kangas.
The Kangas
Good Friday clash. As we let you go, how's the joint going in Hawthorne?
Haven't started.
Nice and slowly.
Needs a bit of cash.
Every time I see a photo, I think,
tell you what,
Andy, nothing's happened.
Needs a little bit of cash, I reckon.
When Billy, you're the king of cashies. Yeah. You do cashies all the time. I don't work in a cashies world, but if you can open the door and let me in the back.
Sparkies, plumbers.
I think I'm going to need it. Thanks, buddy.
You need a lot of it.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
What do you reckon the bosses, they hear that, mate? They're going to come in here and go, Bill, fair digging. Finish up tonight.
What a treat this is, JB. Three-time Emmy and Golden Globe winner, Hollywood superstar Jeremy Piven joins us.
Our next guest spent 8 seasons depicting the wild side of Hollywood as Ari Gold in Entourage.
Were you in the same suit as yesterday?
I spent the night in jail.
Oh, my God. Ari, why didn't you call me?
Because you get one call and I wanted to use it on someone I like to have sex with.
Now, he's bringing his stand-up comedy show to Melbourne, where Hollywood still features.
Guess who the highest-paid actor in Hollywood is? The Rock, right. He's never taken an acting class. Do I sound bitter? Because I am.
Please welcome Jeremy Piven.
Let's go.
Fat.
Yes.
I am properly pissed. I've had to come to Adelaide to call the footy, which means I'm not in the studio with one of my all-time favourites. We're going to get to Ari Gold, but this man has done two of my favourite ever movies, Gross Point Blank and Rock and Roller. He was on Larry Sanders, Saturday Night Live. Jeremy Piven, you are a star.
Oh, you, my man. You know what's crazy? Are you in Adelaide right now?
I'm in Adelaide.
You're not going to believe this, but I'm heading there.
Oh,
I swear to you.
I come back there when you're coming
That's
over here.
That's amazing.
Oh,
we'll wave to each other. Yeah. It's all good.
Where do we start with you? You've had this extraordinary career. You've done so many amazing films, Heat with Pacino and De Niro.
Yeah.
Your resume is nuts. Do you ever sit quietly and think, bloody hell, I've done all this amazing stuff. It's incredible.
If I did, I would probably be healthy, but I'm very kind of... ambitious and delusional, and I can't get enough, which is why the gentlemen here see that I'm handing out flyers.
Oh,
I'm the guy that still hands out flyers,
yeah.
You know what I mean? To make sure that everyone comes to the Palais Theatre on the 2nd.
Mm-hmm.
See how I just, you know, just
no, what's that in?
Nice little segue.
Jim, I didn't even meet him. I went up to shake his hand. He goes, here, mate, have this.
Yes.
And he's handing out flyers of himself where he's on live stand-up comedy, Melbourne, Palais Theatre, next Tuesday, Rabsy?
April the 2nd, so two Tuesdays' time. Tickets available, ablivetouring.com.au. The Palais Theatre is magnificent,
by the way. You're here for a while.
You know what? I'm going to Adelaide to shoot a movie, and then I'm going to come back here.
Jeremy, how long has the stand-up been going on? Because, as we say, you're very famous as an actor, TV, and big screen. Since when's the stand-up been a big thing for you?
Well, this is the crazy part is, you know, I've done 80 movies, and I'd done 40 movies before Entourage, and I won the Fresh Face of the Year award at 37 years old. And I said, there's nothing fresh about my face. I've been on stage since I was 8 years old, you know, doing comedy and improvising. And then I started Second City, which is a comedy troupe in Chicago with a guy named Chris Farley, you know, in the 90s. That's how old I am. Mm-hmm. So I've been doing this forever. I've only been like doing proper stand-up on tour for 10 years, which may sound like a lot to someone, but anyone in the stand-up game would laugh in my face. And I want them to come see my show because it's my honor to make people laugh for an hour. And that's why, you know, the Palais Theatre is it's an honor to play there because it's a big, beautiful theater. Mm. So I better not suck is what I'm saying.
Yeah, exactly. You do topical things or do you get someone out of the crowd, you know, those comics that go, what do you do, mate? Oh, I'm a baker. Oh, yeah, you must have plenty of dough. Or what do you, how do you,
you know what? I've got, you know,
use that.
Selfishly, use that. I have enough material that I don't need to, like, you know, write. How long you guys know each other? Oh, did you meet on a dating app?
Yeah.
I don't necessarily need to be that guy.
Yeah.
But if you want to heckle me,
yes,
then I will happily engage.
Right.
You know what
Good.
I mean?
Yes.
And people scream, like, let's hug it out, bitch.
Yeah.
Or,
you know, Lloyd!
Yeah. You know, it's a lot of that.
Hey, Jeremy, let me ask you this. The thing I loved most about Entourage, it was just such a superb show, but also how wrong it was. Just as the whole world's focused on being correct and politically in the lane all the time, this show came along that just smashed that to bits. The way you spoke to your gay executive assistant, the way you spoke to Beverly D'Angelo's character Babs, that was just liquid gold. And we all watched it and went, at least there's somewhere we can go where we're not being told what to say and how to behave.
Liquid gold could be a good name for like a tour or something.
Yeah.
I'm going to steal that.
Like it.
Yeah. You know what's interesting is that we've been overcompensating for a few years now, and you know, people have been operating out of fear. And the reality is, you have a character like Ari Gold that's an equal opportunity offender, and you know, he would say things that are very offensive, but at the same time, he was monogamous with his wife, he did have Lloyd's best interest, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it's like, you know, it's funny, you know, if you want people to say all the right things and tick all the boxes, but they're actually the devil, or do you want someone, you know, who's going to be a bit offensive and cheeky, but is a decent human being, you know? And that's, you know, that's the question of what's going on right now, because a lot of people know how to look good in public.
Yes.
What an honour and a privilege. This is so cool. The show will be amazing. Rebs, when and how do people get tickets?
Tuesday, April 2nd. So that's Tuesday week. Tickets available, ablivetouring.com.au. That's ablivetouring.com.au. Jeremy Piven
Should
live.
We say, like, if they say Rush Hour, we'll give them some free meet and greets?
Yeah.
We can hang out.
Absolutely. Yes. Oh, yeah. Bloody hell.
Yes.
Yes.
Because we'll save them some money. Because I'm Jewish and I think about this stuff.
I like that.
This is all I think about.
And as we let
money.
Wait a minute, I just gave away my money.
No.
You did.
Oh, I'm screwed.
As we let you go, I want you to look down the barrel. I want you to think that I'm Babs, and I want you to give me the best cook Babs. That you gave Babs in the show that you had to say in front of your mum.
Oh, my God. Joyce. Wait, you're putting me on the spot.
Yeah.
Poor old Joyce.
I think you said her.
Babs, you look great. Except you're wearing 11 bras and some Spanx, and you're viciously mediocre. How about this? You're fired. You're fired.
Oh, look at things off. Go, go.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
Under a buck, Jim. Do you understand that? See, there's a nice little double entendre.
Is that what? What, big pardon?
JB and Billy have had a relaxing start to the day.
I like a sleep-in Sunday morning.
A lie-in Sunday, Jim.
Now it's time for reflection.
How do you self-assess? How do you reckon that went?
We can work on it.
Oh.
This is the best stuff from Triple M's Rush Hour this week.
It doesn't get any better.
No, Jim.
It's the Rush Hour Sunday session.
I feel good!
On Triple M.
Jimmy boy, stand back and let Big Bill's big exclusive take center stage.
Not yet, Willis, because while you talk to an F1 superstar, we have Fremantle superstar Nat Fyfe with us later this hour.
Plus, I hear you've got a problem in the bedroom, Jim.
Get your mind out of the gutter, Fat. Mm. I've got problems sleeping, so I need some help, and I'm going to get it from Hose. Plus, we get a joke out of you, one that you've probably told before, and a very special F1-themed idiot song.
Oh, and speaking of Formula One, Jimmy boy, let's get to it now. Me, one-on-one, me, one-on-one with Formula One superstar. One of the great interviews of all time is coming up next.
Triple M's Rush Hour Sunday session will be back soon. And to get JB and Billy whenever you want, download the Listener app and add the show to your favourites.
I feel good!
I am sick and tired of reading about, hearing about, being told about Big Bill's big exclusive.
That's it, Jim.
That's it. That's what he's branded his own bid as.
Yes.
Big Bill's big exclusive.
Well, we've done some big interviews, haven't we, together?
Yes.
And I've done some big ones. Shaq, of course.
Which went down like a lead balloon.
That was actually
wrought iron hang
very
glider.
Good.
Yes.
Well, wait till you hear this one. But this one is better, Jimmy boy.
The Prime Minister last year.
Yeah, the
Elbow.
PM. Elbo. So,
and he's been on the nose ever since.
All by me, by the way. They don't want to talk to you.
I don't think these have gone well as a rule.
But this is a big day for Triple M Radio.
Oh.
Big day. Just not the Rush Hour. Triple M Radio. Because I haven't heard him anywhere else on radio.
I see.
At all.
You know when he gets the stupid, concerned look on his face? It's like he's taking himself seriously.
Yeah. And, of course, he's in town. He's got a big event this weekend.
Right.
And old Fat went down yesterday to interview the one, the only, Oscar Piastri.
Oh, wow.
Welcome home, Oscar. Great to have you back in Melbourne, mate.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
That's good. Been out to see Mum and Dad and the family?
I have, yes. Yes, seen them all and seen some friends, which has been nice, yeah.
Good. Now tell us, how do you prepare for this weekend and the track?
So for the weekend, I'm obviously born in Melbourne, but I haven't lived here for ages. So come over from the UK, try and get used to the time zone. So I've been here for a few days getting used to that. And yeah, that's all under under control now.
Good.
Do some of my commitments with the media, some of our sponsors. And stuff, which is good fun. And then tomorrow at the track, do all our sort of media day, which we have at every race weekend.
Sure.
And sit down with engineers, see how we're going to make the car fast, and go from there.
Have you actually been around the Albert Park track?
Yeah.
Yourself. You haven't driven it? Have you ever driven around the Albert Park, the track here?
Yeah. I mean, when I was a kid growing up, all the time.
Yeah.
And last year, of course.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, last year, that's right. What are do? Well, your thoughts on the first two races? So last week, you're in form. Last round was really good. Fourth.
Yeah, no, it was a good weekend, definitely. I think our car is kind of the third quickest at the moment. Red Bull and Ferrari, they're a step ahead of us at the moment. So
how do you catch them?
Make our car faster or drive faster or both.
Or
they break down. Yeah. So we'll try our best. But no, fourth last weekend was a really good result. So hopefully we can get one further up and be on the podium this time.
Because we'd love to see you on the podium. And Aussie's never been on the podium here. That would be fantastic.
It would be. It would be very, very good. So hopefully I can make it happen, but we'll see.
Would you do a shoey or something, or you got something in store?
I haven't got that far yet. I mean, the shoey's kind of Daniel's thing. I might adopt it as well, but...
An Oscar?
An Oscar. I got no idea what an Oscar is, but I'll try my best.
I give them away. It's an award overseas, right? Yes. Now, I live in Geelong, right? So it takes me about an hour and a half from the Westgate Bridge. If you're in the McLaren,
yep.
How long would it take you to get from the Westgate to Geelong?
Oh, probably about half an hour, I reckon.
Jeez, that'd be nice, Eric. Oh, there's a lot of traffic there. Would I actually fit in an F1 car in your car?
Probably not, if I'm honest. No.
No, that's all right. I want you to be honest. No? Not at all?
I don't think so.
All right. A couple others. Are you barrack for Richmond?
I barrack for Richmond, yes.
And where did you watch the 2017 Grand Final?
I actually watched it from a hospital bed.
I heard that.
Yeah, I had a... It was precautionary hospital checks, but hospital bed, woke up, and I think it was the fourth quarter, and we were still up. So, that was good.
Do you know who James Brayshaw is?
Nah, never heard of him.
Oh, that's what we want.
I do know who he is.
You know when you drive around in the McLaren, do you have Triple M on?
Not in the UK.
Oh,
but when good. I'm here, yes.
Right.
I mean, I'm waiting to hear another one of your bakes.
Oh, I'll bake you if you don't make the podium, all right? Now, here are Vince Brownless. He gets a T-shirt. How lucky is that? And
thank
an
you
air
very
freshener
much.
You can put in the McLaren.
Thank you very much.
A Triple M one, by the way.
Thank you very much. It almost matches our colours, too.
Oh, there you go.
It's pretty good.
Yeah,
it's on brand, so
on
thank
brand.
You.
Well done. Hey, all the best, Oscar.
Thank you very much.
Can't wait to see you on the podium.
Cheers. Thank you.
So a couple of things. Firstly, could you have done the interview when someone wasn't doing the vacuuming in the background?
That's not my fault.
That would have been the first thing I would have said. The staff in the hotel, can you just stop vacuuming for a minute while we're
in his room?
That's the first thing.
That's
secondly,
beer's his fault. Yeah.
Have you ever driven the track?
I know.
He drove in last year's Formula One Grand Prix here in Australia.
I overlooked that. In my research, I overlooked that, Jim.
I like it, Fat. Well done. Good. That's a good exclusive.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
You shouldn't take the mickey out of people that can't talk properly. The dyslexia.
James Brayshaw, Billy Brownless and Rosie Walton's in the studio.
Superstar
that tattoo
afternoon
she's got
host.
Jim. What's that tattoo?
Sitting on my tats.
That's a dragon or something.
It is a dragon.
Rosie's had it for a long time.
It's been there as long as I've known her, actually.
Are you going to get it off or not?
Are you going to get it off?
Well, after the show.
Show's going brilliantly in the afternoons.
Thank you.
Good music.
Yes.
I like it.
Especially International Women's Day. You were loving that day.
Bloody hope.
Very
that
good.
Well done.
When are Pearl Jam coming, please?
September.
Oh, nice.
I've got a ticket for you.
Oh, Bill, you've got to go and watch Pearl Jam.
Well, we're
actually unbelievable.
The Jammers?
We're actually going as a whole team.
Oh, good. I like it.
The whole team.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah, so people you've never met before. You get to...
So what do you mean, the Rush Hour team?
No. The other people that you wouldn't know anyone's name out there, Jim. It's going to be your worst nightmare.
You're coming too.
Yeah, team Fat will be there.
Marvel Stadium.
Yes, good.
I think I'll probably go there.
No.
jokes. Jokes, obviously.
Yeah.
Hose, I need to pick your brain on something. I'm not a great sleeper. And I don't know why. I haven't been for a long time. Bad back, I think, started it, and then it got into my head, and I don't sleep very well.
Oh, okay.
I know, and it really annoys me. Mm. But at the moment, what I'm doing, so I get to sleep comfortably enough if I go to sleep at – I'm a night owl. So if I go to sleep at 11:30, let's say, that's fine. I go to sleep pretty quickly.
Okay. Yep.
You know, midnight, whatever time it is.
What about if you have a drink? Sleep better or not?
Oh, get off to sleep better.
Yeah.
But the problem I've got, Hose, is I wake up like – every night I wake up between 4:30 and 5:30, and then I'm wide awake till 6:30, 7:30.
Nothing worse.
It happens to me. And then when I hit 6:30, 7:30, I go back to sleep like it's the middle of the night till 9:30.
you're old, I think. Is that what the answer is? Yes. Don't you sleep less when you get the older you get?
But what I'm thinking is if you put those two blocks of sleep together, that's a normal amount of sleep. Yeah. I've just got this huge, great big gap in the middle. So I get up and have a water.
What do you do?
Then I have a wee.
Oh, good.
And then I lie back in bed and I'm literally wide awake and then I start thinking about all the stuff that annoys me and then I stay awake.
Oh, the roads.
It is. All the things that are shitting me.
The roads. I think of. The tunnel.
And then, exactly. And then I can't go back to sleep.
I'll tell you what, Jim. I reckon 40% of Australians can't sleep or don't sleep properly. Well enough. So if there's a doctor out there or a sleep person or whatever, don't you come up with something? Because it's a big worry. It's a big concern.
So here's the thing. And this is why I brought you in, Hose, because, you're a magnificent part of the fairer sex, is I say to Lisa when I'm wide awake at 4:35 in the morning, I say to her, I need a cuddle. Because if you give me a cuddle, then I'll go to sleep.
What does that mean?
What sort of cuddle?
You don't have to go straight to the stupid place.
No.
Just arms around, spoon.
You
cuddle.
Need to be comforted.
Yes. And she goes, this time of year, it's hot.
Too hot.
Go away.
That's what she says.
Yeah.
Too hot.
But Hose, I think she's got a responsibility to get me back to sleep with a cuddle.
I would get you Finergan and tell you to shut up.
Yeah.
Finergan's exactly. What kids have.
Yeah, but double dose or something.
You can't have a cuddle.
Yes, you can.
And spoon.
Well, no, because then I go straight to sleep.
Do you?
Do you wake her up to let her know that you can't sleep?
Or is she awake?
How does this happen?
No, she's asleep.
And you wake her up to go, I can't sleep.
I can't sleep.
Oh, well, don't do that. She's asleep.
No wonder you're not getting a cuddle.
Yeah. Hose.
You'll never get a cuddle again.
I brought you in here because I need you to explain to me how I can fix this problem. What would you do if you're... Not, I can't say better half. If your man woke you up at 4 in the morning...
Well, he does.
For a cuddle.
Tell him to...
Well, that's basically what I'm getting. It's not helping.
I don't know what to do. Yeah. You need to go to another room and leave Lisa to her sleep.
Right.
That's a good idea.
And just stop ruminating.
Have a sleeping room.
It's called my bedroom.
No, get out of the bed. Let her have her sleep and you have a sleep.
Go to the couch, watch some telly.
But then I feel like if I do that, I'm not going to get back to sleep again ever.
Well, go and talk to someone.
At 4 in the morning in my own house.
He reckons he can have
not
a cuddle and a spoon.
Yeah, I do. And then as soon as that happens, I go
Guess
straight
where
back
that leads. It only leads one way.
She goes to sleep and James is left frustrated again.
You haven't helped me one bit.
No, I know.
I'm glad I'm not tapping you on the shoulder. off.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
That's what stuffs Bill, Nath. You understand
Give
what happens.
Give me some strategicness of it.
Two-time Brownlow medalist Nat Fyfe.
It's inside attacking 50, though, for the Fremantle Dockers. Fyfe!
Hello, long kick to Fyfe.
And there's punches everywhere. Fifey's grabbed it, and Fifey's kicked an absolute belter. What a read from the two-time Brownlow medalist, and they mop it.
Now, Bill.
Yes.
Some players we need to roll down the whole resume. So the two Brownlows we know about.
Yes.
Three All-Australian, three best and fairest at the famous Fremantle Football Club, the Doig medalist. Two times AFLPA Player of the Year.
Mm-hmm.
Twice, if you don't mind. And a superstar and one of our all-time best mates.
Yes.
And he joins us from the West. Nat Fyfe, welcome to you.
James, Bill, thanks very much for having me.
How are you, Fyfe? You're looking good. I just saw you briefly there, but you cut out. So looking good over there in beautiful Frio.
Yeah, late March is always good. And the end of pre-season, sun's been shining. The tan is working nicely. And we won round one, so everyone's glowing at the club.
I tell you how good he looks, Fat.
Yes, how good, Jim?
My much better half. I don't know if you've seen a photo of my better half, Fyfe, but she is a better half.
She is.
Has no interest in going into the dressing rooms of any football club ever, even with the family ties.
What about the nephew?
Well, no, so what she does every time Freo are playing and she's at the ground, she goes, I'd like to go and see Andrew down in the rooms.
So
I'm like, you can see him any time of the year. You got no interest in tiny little Steve.
No.
You want to see the main man.
Oh, the muscles.
And I think she's not the only one, Fyfe, that gets into the Fremantle rooms wanting to see the champ.
Yeah, well, I mean, it'd be nice to get Mum and Dad down there every now and then as well. But,
come up from late grace. You've got to get the old man out of the truck.
Yeah, you get him up there or down there?
Well, he actually was in there on the weekend, and I think that's the first time in about 4 years he's been in the room. So we gave him a clip and said, mate, we're probably closer to the end than the start. Yes. I reckon we start cashing in a few of these opportunities.
Hey, mate, back to your best on the weekend, getting a heap of it in close, as Bill said, covering the ground. So from the outside looking in, it looks like your body's doing the right thing by you and you're running on top of the ground.
The trend's your friend, as Rossi Lyon used to say. But we are we're slightly better each week, which is positive. And I've done a few different things with my body to allow me to get some confidence and actually get through some training sessions. So yeah, nice to get through pre-season and then play one game and playing a slightly different role now. You'd notice, which allows your Sarongs and Brayshaws and Hayden Young and Matty Johnson, Neil Rowe, these guys just to absolutely get their hands on the ball and do damage with it.
So when you say you've done some things differently, yes, we see Christian Petrarca go to the Red Bull with Trav Boak and all the rest of it, people doing funky things with their
yoga
preseason.
And
yep. What about you? What are the different things?
There's a bit of that. Like I went to the ends of what I felt Western medicine could offer me. I had everything cut open and injected and as many painkillers and anti-inflammatories as I could throw up my system, and I just wasn't getting anywhere. So lucky enough over the off-season to go to India, and they kind of treat the body a bit more holistically, and that introduced me to a new sort of way of looking at what was going into my system and how I was treating the whole unit is one, a bit more yoga, as you mentioned, and that sort of brought me back and connected me with a few people here in Western Australia that are giving me great confidence. On the weekend, actually, I was chirped about going to India. I got in a bit of a scuffle and someone's leant over and said, go back to India, mate, which is the sort of chirp that I absolutely live for.
Crystals and all that?
Bit like the chakra cleansing, are you referring to?
I'm not sure what I'm referring to.
Yeah. Are you into a bit of that sort of stuff?
No, I'm not at all. But my daughter is. She's found herself in Byron Bay, and she had these crystals, and she put them out at night, and I don't know what it all means. But anyway, it's working for her.
If it helps you sleep at night and find the footy a few more times, then I'm open to whatever's out there.
You also went surfing with Howie, didn't you, up in Indonesia?
Did, yeah, on the way back from India, sort of Howie and his mate Paul and Shin, we got together in Sumatra and caught a couple of waves, talked a bit of pump. Yeah, it was a nice week.
Good. Is Howie any good on the board?
He goes all right. Yeah, he's probably better on the chirp in the lineup, as you can imagine.
Yes, exactly. ever had 46 in a game, Nat Five?
I haven't. I think I've snuck my way over 40 once or twice, but no, that was fairly impressive work.
Oh, he just keeps going, doesn't he? Keeps running.
He got tagged in the second half as well, you know.
Weren't you helping out there?
I sort of dished him off one or two because I remember when I used to get tagged about a decade ago, I used to like it when people would give me a couple around the back.
You've also done some fine work on the Seven Network, analysing the game and sitting on panels, and I'd like to see you, when you decide to finish, Fifey, which might be 2, 3, 4, 5 years, whatever you want to do, you'll do what you want. But when you finish, I'd like to see you back doing a bit of that because I'm sick of doing the eye candy for the whole bloody network. I need some help.
What a flog.
Give me a couple of years and I'll come and give you a hand.
I need a hand.
What about Pav?
He's on Fox.
He gets a big hooter up there, I see. Oh, that was Fox, was it?
He's on another network.
Oh, sorry.
Hey, everyone who's loved you over the journey watching you play footy was so pleased round one. You look like exactly the Nat Fife that we've all come to love watching.
Thanks, James. Thanks, Bill. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, Fifey.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
And a lady with glasses.
oh, no. Idiot time. Sometimes it's idiot file.
Yes.
Sometimes it's idiot song.
Yes.
The constant is the idiot.
Yeah.
And that's you. That's you. And today, Maddie has been hard at work in the booth. There he is. Because it's F1 week. Maddie Haywood, hit it.
Because there's a young Australian, Jim. He is an ace. His name is Oscar Piastri.
Don't say that.
Have another go. Rap. Oscar Piastri.
That's better.
Piastri. There you go.
Oscar
Piastri. Oscar Patacci.
Patacci.
Oscar Piastri is promoted to a racer.
Almost said Pistorius.
Max Verstappen and
hang on.
What's his name?
tell us where the Formula One is this weekend?
Asperger's Zen.
That you got the arse from Haas. We shouldn't say that.
Can't be saying that. Our special guest.
Well, Jim, he got the arse from Haas.
That is Australia. That is Australian humor.
What about old Bernie, the Formula F1 owner? Bernie.
Formula.
Former F1 owner.
So you Formula F1 words. Owner.
Sebastian Vettel told boy's team not to pass. Our man does the right thing and gets boned by the German helmet. It's like a cyclist passing someone on the way into the Champs Elysees. That bloody place in Paris, Jim.
He's got a cramp. Look at him. He's cramped. To be
wild. He's going to sort his cramp out.
Oh, my God.
Marco Webber's leading the race in Poxy, Germany at the Nürnberg, at the Turdberg.
That'll be the Nürburgring, Bill.
Which I was trying to say until you interrupted me, you little peanut.
Oh. Boned by the German helmet.
I think you wrote that.
I cannot believe. Like, we've been on air that long. There's stuff that's happened I've just forgotten. Yeah. But this race brings the best out in you, Fat.
It does. And Bakes. And I tell you what, if Oscar Piastri doesn't finish 1, 2, or 3, Jim, on the podium, he will be baked.
He's a young man. We'll give him some time.
He knows about the bakes, and he was told he's going to get baked. So the Piastri might become a pizza. It'll be baked. That's what I'm trying to say.
Oh, my God. He does it every time. He starts the next idiot file at the end of the last one every single week.
You're in Adelaide, but his brain was going, oh, no. Oh, I've gone halfway in here. Oh, no.
Oh,
no.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
Could you bring in a interpreter?
Bill?
Interpreter. Can you bring in someone that can speak his language?
Do you want to watch Billy's joke?
Prop.
That's a visual prop to a horrifically bad joke.
Just follow Triple M Rush Hour on Instagram and you can see Billy's joke every day. Of all the jokes Billy Brownless told this week,
this better be good.
This was certainly one of them.
All right, have you got something funny?
Mm-hmm.
On Triple M's Rush Hour Sunday session, this is Billy's joke.
Paddy died in a fire and was burnt pretty bad, Jim, so he had to go to the morgue. Needed someone to identify.
Normally you take people to the morgue if they die, regardless of how badly burnt they are.
The morgue needed someone to identify who it was, okay? Yes. His two best friends, Seamus and Sean, were sent for him. So Seamus went in and the mortician pulled back the sheet. Seamus said, yep, he's burnt pretty bad. Roll him over. So the mortician rolled him over. Seamus looked at him and said, no, that's not Paddy. Oh, that's rather strange. So she brought in Sean. Sean took a look at him and said, yeah, he's burnt pretty bad. Roll him over. The mortician rolled him over and Sean said, no, that ain't Paddy. The mortician said, how can that be? Tell me why. Sean said, well, Paddy had two arseholes. What? He had two arseholes. Yep, every time, everyone knew that, Jim. Every time we went into town, folks would say, here comes Paddy with them two arseholes.
That's not bad. He's laughing.
Here comes Paddy with them two arseholes, Jim.
I'm laughing at.
It's like when I go out.
Not a bad joke.
Yeah.
But what I'm laughing at is you start out by trying to do the Irish accent when someone speaks. Yes. And then you just tell the whole joke in an Irish accent, don't you?
It's like when I go out, Jim.
No, here I comes heard that Billy bit and I'm with not the two listening. Yeah, exactly.
You and him.
Clarky and Barrett.
Not bad.
Not bad.
Well done,
not bad, Fat.
Well, you got two there.
I'm not unhappy with that being played. The first one was rubbish. You get rid of that.
No, it was just an easy.
Get rid of that. Not bad, Fat.
Well done, Fat.
That's 3 from 4. Woo! Not bad joke, Fat.
No, here we are. Sean and Seamus.
This has been Triple M's Rush Hour Sunday Session. The best of JB and Billy.
You must produce better radio.
And even though they're going, you can still take them with you wherever you go. Download the Listener app and add JB and Billy to your favourites.
I feel good.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy. Brought to you by the Ford Ranger, Australia's number one selling vehicle in 2023.